Welcome to this recording. We're coming to you from the Laurel Heights Church of Christ. May I ask that we open to 2 Peter chapter 2. We hope you had a pleasant Thanksgiving that was safe, and that your expressions of gratitude to God will be something you engage in all the time before and after the holiday. We have so much to be thankful for. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. I'll read all of that for the sake of context. I really want to talk about the subject introduced and developed by the Apostle Peter in this chapter. I'll spend most of my time with you in verse 1, but I want to read the entire passage and talk to you for a moment about context. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell, and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. Bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones, whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction, suffering wrong as the wage for their wrongdoing. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions while they feast with you. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. Accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These are waterless springs and mist driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For, speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallowing in the mire. That's 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's talk about context to begin our study. Let me say something about the last part of chapter 1 that's relevant to all of this. It comes up right before what I've read. The last part of chapter 1 is about the integrity of the message of God delivered by the apostles, the very message we have on the pages of the New Testament. Peter and the other apostles did not follow cleverly devised tales. They were eyewitnesses of the Lord's majesty. They heard God say about Christ, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Peter was there to witness this event on the Mount of Transfiguration. You can go back and read of it in Matthew 17. In verse 19 of 2 Peter chapter 1, right before the text we read, Peter uses this phrase, "something more sure." As to the writings of Scripture, men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. You know what this is all about? We have in the New Testament the objective standard of truth from the mind of God Himself. We must learn and apply God's truth. If we neglect to train ourselves in the truth, we become easy prey to error, to false teachers. I want to focus now on 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. That will be the primary focus of our attention. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction." We begin our study of the verse by considering what can be called the history of this threat. There were also false prophets, or in the English Standard Version, false prophets also arose among the people, past tense. I have several passages I'm going to bring up that I will not read. You can mark them down, to show the presence of false teachers long before Peter wrote this in Old Testament times. Deuteronomy 13, 1-5. Isaiah 9, 13-17. Jeremiah 14, 14-16. Ezekiel 13 and verse 3. The point is, false teaching was not something new in Peter's time. It is certainly not something new in our time. False teaching can be traced all the way back to the time of Moses, and from that time through the period of Kings to the close of the Old Testament. The truth of God was spoken through His chosen spokespersons. There were people moved by God's Spirit to speak and write the truth. Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Moses, Solomon, others, good men. But there were always bad men who claimed to speak the truth, but spoke falsehood instead. Given all the information, I think there's a strong presumption that false teaching is about as old as sin itself. The devil is forever using vulnerable people to contradict what God has said. The devil uses people to twist what God has said. We can say the devil was the first false teacher in that he told Eve a lie. It has always been necessary for people who want to know the truth of God to be careful and certain they are not being deceived, defrauded, scammed by anyone who pretends to give religious information but it's not in God's Word. Faithfulness to God has always required the testing of every message given through men, discerning between truth and error, right and wrong messages. So this is historical. There were also false prophets. That's our first point in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Next, regarding their location, among the people. Among the people. If false teachers were located out in some unpopulated region far away on a deserted island with no regular contact with people, the danger would be minimal, except, of course, for the person who teaches error. But like real estate, it's all about location. Peter begins by affirming the historical reality of false teachers. Then he identifies their location among the people. They do their work among the people. If false teachers had no audience, no people they could reach, while their message would still be false, the damage would be limited to the person wanting to teach error. But they work among the people. When the Apostle Paul met with the Ephesian elders for the last time, he said this, "I know this," Paul said, "that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. And remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." False teachers do their work among people. They are located. They are situated where there are people. Today, false teachers have wide and quick access to people through TV, but most especially the internet and social media. I see false teaching on Facebook almost every day, and I also see immature and ill-advised responses to false teaching. Number three, still based in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, their present reality, there will be false teachers. False teachers were a spiritual menace in the nation of Israel. As they worked among the people documented in the Old Testament, false teachers were a menace in the early church, and Peter speaks now in the future tense. There will be false teachers. We must never make the mistake of relegating false teaching to ancient times. See, if we assume there is no problem about this, we will not be careful and take heed. When we stop watching, we get hurt. And here's one point we will make throughout our study of 2 Peter 2, verse 1. We must read the Scriptures. Remember what we talked about back in chapter 1, the prophetic word made more sure. It requires our attention. "To which you do well to pay attention," Peter said. We must read the Scriptures. Individual Christians have no other safeguard. It is good to have preachers and teachers who stay right with the text of Scripture. It is good to have elders who are watchful, but it was never intended that Christians relax in the absolute care of others. Individual Christians must take responsibility to read the Word, to learn the truth, and be able, therefore, to detect error. Read the Word, so when you listen to teachers and preachers, you're prepared to discern. After you hear men speak, go back to the Word again. Make sure their message has its origin in the Word of God. That's what I want you to do about this sermon I'm delivering right now. Check the Word. There were false prophets in olden times. They were located among the people. And there are and there will be false teachers who can deceive us. Let's talk about their method next, secretly. You've heard me talk about this on other occasions. False teachers do not wear a name tag identifying them as false teachers. That might be convenient. It might seem to have some practical value, but it's not reality. They work secretly. It may be that there are some people who are sincere, but they just haven't studied well. They're ignorant of the Bible, and they stand up and teach openly and boldly something that isn't so. And you take your Bible to those people, and they stand corrected. That kind of thing is usually rather simple to deal with if you're talking about a good heart. But the kind of false teachers Peter warned about here are those who slip in, who first gain your confidence, who introduce their false doctrine quietly and gradually with influence that may not be easily discerned. Their method is to work behind the scenes. Too much fanfare would give them away, so they seek unseen opportunities to spread their error. They work quietly under cover of innocence and charm at first. Externally, these men or women may appear to be charming, courteous, humble, efficient, easygoing, and spiritually minded. But the external appearance is not always evidence of internal integrity. Do you remember who said these words? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Matthew 7:15-16. Their method is to work under the concealment of good cover. This is like the case brought up by Paul in Galatians 2:4. False brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us under bondage. The method identified by Peter in 2 Peter 2:1 is captured in that word secretly. Let's talk about their message. Destructive heresies. This word heresies is from the same family of words from which we derive the words sect or party. It is about a group of people who enjoy their unity in error and who seek to advance or spread the error they are devoted to. They have some particular error or false doctrine they share in common. As they propagate that teaching, they spread heresy. It is destructive because it is false. When men make up religious law and enforce it upon others, that's always destructive. When a group defines their very existence by spreading some message that isn't according to scriptures, that's destructive heresy. Our duty is to be alert to that danger, to learn the Bible so that we easily recognize that which is false doctrine. In times past, there were false prophets. They did their work among the people. Peter wants us to know there will be false teachers. Their method is to work in secret, and their message is destructive heresies. Notice their denial. Denying the master who bought them. Let's talk about that a minute. Denying the master who bought them. Listen to our verse again, and then we'll talk about that. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Denying the master who bought them. Does this mean these men just walk right up to you and say, "I deny that Jesus is the Christ"? Well, that doesn't sound like someone working secretly, does it? There were men who did that in the first century, bold, unbelievers who had no shame in openly denying the Christ. But in the context of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it is unlikely Peter is talking about the bold, open, public denials of the Christ by rebellious infidels, because we already know they work secretly. It would seem Peter is referring to the effect of their work, not the form of it. If a sect is formed based on teaching not in the Bible, that work stands in denial of the Lord. If a church is troubled and torn apart because of some idea from man instead of God, that work stands in denial of the Lord. Peter is referring to the effect of their work, not necessarily the open form of it. And let me bring this up. Someone can deny the Lord through behavior without any verbal denial. Titus 1:16, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. No indication here of people walking around teaching verbally that Jesus is not the Christ or that there is no God. In fact, they profess to know God, but in their works they deny him. False teachers, in the very work of spreading false teaching, deny deity. They deny deity the authority to determine what we ought to believe, teach, and practice. Then their outcome, swift destruction. Maybe you've already observed the use of the word destruction twice in the verse. A form of the word twice in one sentence. Destructive heresies. Swift destruction. Something very simple emerges from this. You cannot teach a destructive message and enjoy a constructive outcome. You cannot teach a destructive message and enjoy a constructive outcome. You cannot embrace the doctrines of hell and then go to heaven anyway. If you teach or embrace the doctrines of hell without repentance, your eternal destiny will be in keeping with your doctrine. Teaching, preaching, or believing false doctrine can never lead to any good result or any good outcome. False teachers enjoy no good results presently in their earthly setting. They may assemble great numbers. They may receive huge acclaim. There may be a superficial, temporary advantage. They may earn some money, but false teachers enjoy no real good presently in their earthly setting. They enjoy no good results eternally in their ultimate account of what they've taught. On one occasion, Paul warned against specific false teachers, and he said about one man, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works." 2 Peter 4:14. God has an eternal home for those of us who embrace the truth, who believe, teach, and practice his word. God also has an eternal place for those who oppose the truth, who teach other doctrines, who bring in destructive heresies. Never dismiss the reality of God's wrath against error. Swift destruction. Now, before I conclude, takeaways. It is easier and safer to just embrace the truth revealed on the pages of the Bible. Do not let men and women confuse you, deceive you, or tempt you into religious practices that are of human origin. Tell them you are a member of the Lord's church. Tell them you live under the authority of Jesus Christ, who is the head of his church. Tell them your intention is to read and practice what the Bible says. Those who approach you from time to time may seem to be sincere, may appear to be nice people who are likable, but they can lead you into a complex, subtle web of religious error, moving you farther and farther away from the simple teachings of Scripture, so that you are slowly put into a place like Paul described in Ephesians 4 and verse 14, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. See, the danger in passages like 2 Peter 2 should cause us to want to protect ourselves against false teaching by completely absorbing ourselves in the truth. Listen to it, study it, memorize it, read it, pray for help in the practice of it. Get up every day and do what God says is right. Stable and grounded in the truth, taught in the Word of God. As John once said, 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Well, thank you for joining us in listening to this recording based on 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Take this seriously. Listen again. 2 Peter 2 verse 1. "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction." Thank you for being with us in this recording. Please be safe physically and spiritually.